Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Since 1996, Equine Advocates has helped rescue thousands of horses from slaughter, abuse, and neglect. At Equine Advocates Rescue and Sanctuary in Chatham, New York, they have rescued horses, ponies, donkeys, and mules, and a few other animals as well. On the sanctuary grounds, they have an education center where visitors of all ages attend seminars, workshops, and symposiums on equine issues, care, and natural horsemanship. Last weekend at the Equine Advocates, they held their 2014 summit in Chatham. Here to tell us what they discussed and what they have accomplished, we welcome Susan Wagner, president and founder of Equine Advocates and host of the 2014 American Equine Summit. Susan, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
A delight. And Paula Bacon is the former mayor of Kaufman, Texas, who shut down Dallas Crown, the last equine slaughterhouse in the United States. Paula, thank you very much for being here.
I'm delighted to be here.
And on the telephone, we welcome John Holland, who is president of the Equine Welfare Alliance. John, thank you very much for joining us as well.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure.
Thank you so much. So let us talk about how ultimately what the organization is, Susan. When you Equine Advocates, this was started when and for what purpose?
I founded Equine Advocates back in 1996 because I was absolutely horrified when I first heard about horse slaughter. I had spent 15 years of my life in the racing industry and didn't know anything about it until after I left. And I was so upset about it that I thought, with my experience, I need to start a nonprofit organization with the intent of rescuing horses and trying to end horse slaughter.
So when, and we'll talk to Paula in just a second, but when I say in the introduction that she shut down Dallas Crown, the last equine slaughterhouse in the United States, so where is the slaughter being done?
Well, right now, horses from America are being shipped across our borders to Canada and Mexico, which is exactly what we're trying to do through the American Equine Summit. And if I might just mention why we had the summit to begin with, it was to try to bring about an answer and a way to end horse slaughter altogether. And what happened is, through the people that came to the summit and spoke, one of them announced, and her name is Victoria McCullough. She is actually the owner of Chesapeake Petroleum, but she's also an international horsewoman and a philanthropist, got up and said, I have enough information here based on the presentations given, and those presentations were made by Paula Bacon and John Holland and others. And she said, I think I have enough information to build a case against horse slaughter. Fast forward to January 17th of this year, she met with Vice President Joe Biden. He personally added language to defund horse slaughter in the United States to the 2014 omnibus bill, which the president signed on January 17th. And now horse slaughter will not be able to restart in America for at least the next 2 to 3 years. Our goal is to pass a federal ban so that no American equine can be shipped across our borders for the purpose of slaughter or flown to Japan.
John Holland, as I mentioned, is president of the Equine Welfare Alliance. John, tell us about your piece of this puzzle of the equation of how your organization fits into these efforts.
Yes, well, we're basically have fallen into kind of a niche since we formed the company, the organization, and that is doing research. We do almost all of the research that all the other organizations use into the entire slaughter issue and the entire welfare issue. And we study, for example, the rates of abuse and neglect in the various states. We collect the data. We study the availability of hay and what causes a lack of hay and so forth. And we've done some really interesting work, the idea being to debunk the myths that were put out there by the slaughter industry. And they are very good at putting out myths. They put them out and repeat them to the press over and over and over. And it turns out they're all fabrications. When you really find the data, none of what they said was true. And of course, the argument they have is these are old, lame horses that nobody can afford to keep anymore, and poor old Ma and Pa cattle can't keep their horse. and they can't afford to humanely euthanize it, and, you know, we need to slaughter it. They need to be able to slaughter it. And what we really find out is the horses are 3 to 5 years old, usually 3 to 4 years old, and they are, in fact, very healthy sport horses, usually right off the racetracks, right out of the rodeo. But those events don't want you to know it because that hurts the, you know, the popularity of their event. People don't necessarily want to go watch a horse that's condemned to death. So they tend to cover it up with these stories. But most recently, you know, I think the most successful thing we've done recently was that we debunked a GAO, that's the Government Accountability Office, report in 2011. It came out just before a vote that re-enabled the slaughter plants to open in the United States by refunding, meaning restoring the funding for the inspections that were required. That had been removed in 2007, and it was the reason that the plants had gone over the border. And they used this report to justify bringing the plants back, and we found out that when we dug into data, that the report had been falsified, and it had been done by special interests penetrating the GAO, which is pretty frightening. So that's the kind of thing we do.
I want to talk, thank you. I want to talk to Paula Bacon, as I mentioned, former mayor of Kaufman, Texas, who looked a slaughterhouse in the eye and got it shut down. When did it come on your radar that it was a problem in your community?
Well, I had moved back to help my dad, and it immediately was apparent that things had not been going well in my wonderful town where I had grown up. And so it had become more of a seedy, less, well, my dad had been, the crime rate had become an issue as well that I didn't really realize. So when I got back there and began to look into it, for example, I said to my dad, you know, these are the things that I'm finding. And he said, let me tell you, tell the truth and don't run like hell. Because, you know, there's that old saying, you tell the truth and run like hell. Well, we didn't. And so I ran for mayor, was elected, and began the process.
And was that the issue? Is that the issue you ran on?
Not just that. No, there were many issues, but you know, it's what people need to realize is that what happened in Kaufman is what happens when you have horse slaughter. We were a small community and we could see up close what was going on. But what let me give you an example. The plant closed, and immediately our crime rate went from an exorbitant 300 to 400 units to 125 to 135. We had terrible taxpayer burden that was going to get a whole lot worse because of environmental violations that were constant. We had issues with people coming in and out of the community at all hours of the day and night who were really not the kind of people you want to have around. There were multiple issues that really kind of tied back to the fact that, you know, economic development was very negative in my community because we had a horse slaughter plant, and it, you know, people who sold real estate too were having a difficult time. We had beautiful horse properties that wouldn't sell because of the horse theft problem. So, you know, there were just a myriad of problems that accumulated into a very negative situation for the community.
Kaufman is about 35 miles east of Dallas.
Yes.
And so you're still a suburb, right?
Yes, not so much a suburb as a more rural than a suburb.
A rural, well, yeah, because Texas, yeah. You sort of, once you're out of the city, you're out of the city, aren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and the, how much of that is, do you think is what you ran across cultural, do you think, of what people are used to and brought up with, of that, well, that slaughterhouse has always been there, that's always been part of what we do?
I'm not sure what you mean exactly, but
meaning there's a history of that company, and uh-huh. So were people supporting that without really thinking of what the consequences?
Well,
were?
In Kaufman, what people thought was, "Oh God, we hate that plant."
Okay.
And you know, but we just thought that it was bad luck that we had it because when they first arrived in about 1980, the line was it was a service. and that, you know, they were just taking care of these poor old horses. But my friend Mary Nash had a farm next to the plant. We called it the town farm. And she says, you know, I've never seen such good-looking horses. Yeah. When I never had such beautiful horses when I was growing up. She still had two of her horses that she had grown up with, which were 30 at the time. And, you know, it was just a mystery. What's going on here? That's not the issue. And those horses are not old, lame, sick. And so the community did not embrace that. And it was not a jobs program at all. There were poor-paying jobs that were just not that many. It wasn't economic development in the least. And then when you looked at the environmental problems and what that was going to eventually mean, and was imminent for taxpayers, that we were going to have to build a new wastewater treatment system, you know, it was very apparent. And then when we had hearings regarding their nuisance, well, I'll tell you about that when you want to hear it. But
we're just running out of time. But yeah. Ultimately, when you think, and I guess this gets to a point that Susan was saying of legislation and the vice president stepping in, and in our final moment, I mean, overall, you're optimistic of what can happen.
I am extremely optimistic because for the first time, we're seeing what's really been impacted here, which is food safety, human safety, and lack of enforcement of protection of liability. I believe that finally we're going to see an end to horse slaughter because everything involved in horse slaughter involves criminal activity. There is absolutely nothing legitimate about it. And it's highly immoral for us to send horses to be slaughtered for food that are toxic for human consumption. You wouldn't even want to feed it to your dogs. So we're not eating it here, but yet it's okay for people who do not want to take responsibility for the horses that they own and breed to send them to other countries for people to eat. And as you probably know, there was a huge horse meat scandal raging throughout Europe where horse meat ended up in the beef supply. There's no way to control where it ends up because it's all being done by criminals. So there's really no reason for horses to, they don't belong in the food chain, and that's the direction we're going in.
For folks who want to find out more information about the efforts and what you're doing, I assume your website is
equineadvocates.org. And if you're not doing anything on May 17th, come and visit us. We have an open day and you can see what we do and visit our 85 equines.
All right. We are officially out of time, but Susan, Paula, and John, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.